You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football. Happy Friday to you. It's the last time we'll get a chance to talk before the Buffalo Bills take on the New York Jets in Week 7 in a game that allows the Bills the opportunity to improve their record to 5-2. It's nice to have a normal Friday podcast for the first time in what seems like forever. So we're going to deliver the normal Friday podcast on a Friday. It'll include my leftover thoughts. We'll talk to banged up Bills here in segment 2, getting an update on the Bills' injuries. And then we'll close out the podcast, we'll close out the week with my predictions for Sunday. So let's start with a couple of newsy items here. Justin Zimmer, the Bills' defensive tackle that's been on the practice squad, is now a member of the active roster. The Bills signed him to the 53. There was some reports that another team was looking to add him to their active roster, and the Bills made the choice to promote him. And so now he is on the 53, giving the Bills even more depth at defensive tackle. Zimmer has flashed this year. He played in week 1 against the Jets and made some plays that week, and then obviously flashed as well against the Chiefs. The Bills need help at defensive tackle, and Justin Zimmer has provided a spark at times this year, and now he'll have a chance to be part of the mix moving forward. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this, because now they have 5 defensive tackles. You know, will he dress on Sundays over Harrison Phillips? What other changes could Sean McDermott make? Obviously, that was the case against Kansas City, but will that be the plan moving forward? So it'll be interesting to see how he's adopted into this rotation and what type of role he commands. But, you know, at least we've seen some good flashes from Zimmer. He obviously had some interest out there, and now he's a member of the 53. Real quick, the Bills protected 4 players like they do each week from their practice squad. Those were 2 offensive linemen, Jordan Devey and Jonathan Harrison, and then 2 defenders, cornerback Dane Jackson, defensive end Brian Cox Jr. What I really want to focus here in leftover thoughts is talk about this game against the Jets, against the 0-6 Jets, the clear worst team in football, bar none. They haven't looked competitive for a second this year. I want to talk about this game from the perspective of it being a get-right game. I've said that multiple times throughout the podcast. I've heard others say it. But this is absolutely a game that you label as a get-right game. And so I want to talk about what that means. What does this mean for the Bills specifically this week against the Jets in terms of it being a get-right game? So I have a bunch of bullet points here on things that I think the Bills need to accomplish here this week for it to be that, for it to be the get-right game that we hope it is. So this is what I'm looking for this week. So let me start by saying this. This game, in a lot of ways, reminds me last year of the Bills game against Miami. Bills are 4-2 right now. They're taking on the Jets this week, the 0-6 Jets. Then they have a chance to play next week in Buffalo against the New England Patriots. The Bills have a chance after these next 2 games to be 6-2, to be 4-0 in the division. 6-2 at the halfway point, you're on pace to be 12-4. That is a terrific record. So let's flash back to last year. The Bills were 4-1, coming off of a bye, and they were facing the 0-6 Miami Dolphins. Remember this Dolphins team, horrible to start the year, winds up winning 5 of their last 9 games. So they finished 5-11 after an 0-6 start, but they were awful, just historically awful. And we kind of looked at that as a get-right game. If the Bills had lost to the Patriots and then found a way to beat Tennessee before the bye last year, had some questions about the team, what they were going to be long-term, and then they played this Dolphins team, and it was a close game. You're talking about a 4-1 team against an 0-6 team. The Bills were losing 14-9 entering the fourth quarter. The Bills wound up winning the game 31-21, but watching that game and thinking back upon that game, I remember getting the sense that it didn't feel like Buffalo took Miami seriously. So the first point that I want to make here when I talk about this being a get-right game, that starts with taking the New York Jets seriously. Yeah, they're 0-6. They got all kinds of problems. Adam Gase is a total joke as a head coach. They're a poorly run football team. They have injuries at key positions, but they're still an NFL football team. NFL football teams don't often go 0-16. It's a very rare thing. Don't be the team that loses to the Jets. Don't be the team that loses to the Jets. And that starts with taking them seriously. Understand that they can beat you. I said it. The New York Jets can beat the Buffalo Bills. So as much as we want this to be a get-right game, it's a game that the Bills have to take seriously because they don't just show up and the Bills are handed a win. Now, more specifically about this game being a get-right game, what else am I looking for? First of all, obviously taking them seriously. I want to start with Josh Allen. I want Josh Allen to be efficient. I want him to be consistent. And I want him to hit some throws down the field. I want him to complete 65% of his passes in this game. I want 300 yards passing. I'll settle for less passing yards as long as he's efficient and makes some Josh Allen plays that we've come accustomed to, you know, from weeks 1 through 4. I want to be reminded of that player on Sunday. Stop it right now with spiraling down, right? We had 4 weeks of ascension. We had that Tennessee game, and after that Tennessee game, we thought to ourselves, well, if this is bad, Josh Allen, we can certainly live with it. If this is the floor, got a real good quarterback here. And then the Kansas City game was disappointing, right? Never really found any rhythm. Misfires, no efficiency, erratic down the field. For the most part, going to the right places with the football, but not consistent in terms of connecting and hooking up with his targets. Want to restore weeks 1 through 4, Josh Allen against the New York Jets on Sunday. So there's number one. Number two, I want this run game to show some life. You guys know that I am pro pass the football. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The best thing that the Bills offense does is throw the football. I want to see the Bills continue that formula, but I also want to see some life in this run game. I want to see some movement up front. I want to see some good runs from Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. And while the Jets may not be a great measuring stick for success and if you've really fixed issues, the Bills didn't run the football well against the Jets in week one. So you kind of have a nice opportunity to really measure some things here. I'm not looking for 150 yards. I'm not looking for crazy big numbers. I'm looking for the ability to run the football effectively in this game. Not volume, just when they do it, I want it to be effective. You'll know. I'm not going to give you any numbers. I'm not going to say they need to reach these thresholds. You'll know if the Bills are able to accomplish that. Because I'm anticipating a lead here late. I'm anticipating the need to run some clock. And in those moments, we'll know what the Bills are made of with this rushing attack. I want to feel good about it when it's all said and done. So Josh Allen and this run game so far offensively. Let's shift gears to special teams. I want the special teams to have a strong showing. I want to punt the ball well. I want to make field goals. I want to cover kicks. I want to return kicks well as well. You know, I want the special teams' effort to be complete. I want consistent holds, and I want consistency. I'm not asking for dominance. I'm just asking for consistency. Execute and deliver what special teams are designed to do. Defensively, all eyes are on this defensive line. I don't know if Milano is going to be back. I don't know what the Bills are going to have at corner. You know, Trey White, his back issue, he was limited in practice on Thursday. Josh Norman's hamstring had another issue with that. He was limited. Cam Lewis is limited. I don't know what the Bills are going to have at corner. Levi Wallace isn't healthy. I have no idea what to expect at cornerback. I don't have any idea what to expect in terms of Matt Milano's availability. But every single one of those Bills defensive linemen are healthy and available. The most expensive defensive line in football, the $51 million defensive line, my eyes are on that unit to control this football game. There shouldn't be any unique game plans that open up the opportunity for the Jets to run the football. It should be a very balanced defensive attack where you play a lot of straight up, a lot of your base concepts, and you go out there and say, our football players are better than yours, and our football players are going to execute to the level that they should. And if that's true, this defensive line should have a damn good day. I want pressure, and I want consistency at the point of attack against the run. This isn't a great offensive line. Deliver. Deliver what this defensive line is supposed to deliver this year. Especially when you don't know. The back seven, no idea what to expect out of that mix of players. I mean, the safeties, Poyer and Hyde, we know what to expect there. But at linebacker and corner, who knows? Starts up front, deliver on the expectation that comes with being the most expensive defensive line in football. And use this game as a launch point to play to that level the rest of the way. Because this defense is going to need it. I also want to see Tremaine Edmonds play better in this game. Show some confidence. Play fast. Show some consistency. I want the Bills to win by 2 touchdowns. I'll settle for 13 points. I don't want this game to ever feel close. I don't want to wonder. I'm not asking the Bills to win 45-6. That's not what I'm asking for. That'd be great. I'd love it. Win this game by 2 touchdowns. Don't let it ever feel close. Be the better team from start to finish. The last thing, maybe the most important thing, get healthy. Don't add any injuries, significant injuries, after this game. But if guys like John Brown, Cody Ford, Dawson Knox, Matt Milano, the corners, nobody needs to be rushed back. The Bills, the shorthanded Bills, should still be able to handle their business against the New York Jets. There's no reason to force anyone into this lineup. So if that means Brown, Ford, Knox, Milano, White, Norman, Lewis, whoever, needs to sit and give themselves a little bit more time to get ready for this important stretch coming up, then do it. So when I say get right game, that's what I mean. All the principles that I just outlined, that's what I'm looking for on Sunday against the Jets. Need to tell you guys about Built Go. The people that produce Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar in the world, has now produced a workout gel called Built Go, and it is designed to help you break through your wall, whether it's a mental wall, a physical wall. Break through it every day with Built Go. Comes in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages that you can put in your briefcase, stick them in your pocket, put it in your golf bag, put it wherever. It'll be ready for you in that 1.5 ounce package that will be at your disposal whenever you need it throughout the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Got a deal for you. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED. It'll get you 30% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Joined now by Kyle Trimble, doctor of physical therapy. He runs Banged Up Bills. BangedUpBills.com is a website. You can follow him on Twitter at Banged Up Bills. He joins us every week to help us understand the injury situation regarding the Buffalo Bills. And Kyle, I want to start with these cornerbacks. We knew about Tre'Davious White. He had a back injury. He practiced in full on Wednesday, limited Thursday. Josh Norman practiced in full on Wednesday, limited on Thursday with a hamstring, which is disappointing after he just got healthy from a hamstring. And then, of course, the injury we knew about, Cam Lewis, who has a wrist injury, injured it last week, if I'm not mistaken, against the Chiefs. And he got the chance to kind of start that game in the slot, and then before we knew it, he was injured. So get us up to speed on these cornerbacks.
I'm going to work backwards here. So Cam Lewis, they've already termed him week to week. He's limited the past 2 days, and he has a big club on his left hand, wrist, the area. So looking at him to play on Sunday isn't looking great, especially with that designation of week to week already. I can't say exactly what he's dealing with. On film, it's not clear how he hurt the wrist because he hit Edwards-Helaire, but it's not like he jammed the wrist up or fell on the thumb funny or anything else like that. I'm still looking into it, but the fact that week-to-week doesn't bode well for him playing. So then moving on to Norman, he had been pretty good. I know he got big-boyed by Derrick Henry. We all saw the memes and GIFs and whatnot there. But the fact that he's come up with a hamstring, they can recur. We do know about that. It isn't surprising that this happened, though it's discouraging because you thought that he would kind of get past all this stuff, especially with spending the time on injured reserve like he has. So hopefully this is more of a precautionary thing, saying, hey, I felt something, let's take it easy and stop the drills before we make it worse. I can't say right now if he's going to play, but I would think considering the depth at cornerback right now, he's better than some of the other options we have, especially with Lewis potentially not playing. As for White, we still don't know what's going on. He has come out and said it's something that flared up prior to the Titans game. We don't know what flared up. I still haven't come up with a definitive idea. I think this is something that's going to be battling with all season, going forward here now. Hopefully we can get more information as what's going on, but it's definitely a pain-related thing, as you mentioned. I have some ideas, but until I get more information, I don't want to go start spouting stuff off and saying what's going on. So do not be alarmed if he is showing up on the injury report in the future. This is something he's going to have to manage, and hopefully he can be healthy enough for Sunday, because when he is out there, he does look good, but it's clearly limiting him, and he's not playing at that all-pro level that we saw last year. Hopefully he can get right for the second half of the season as we move forward.
Yeah, and I mean, the limited designation just means they didn't practice in full, so we don't know what exactly he didn't do. So it's kind of tough to balance the concern for not having your number one cornerback versus, you know, kind of the reality of those designations. Let's talk about some offensive players here. Wide receiver John Brown, he hasn't practiced yet this week with a knee injury. Cody Ford got injured late in the game against the Chiefs. I saw them do the ACL test on the field, and then he got carted off from the sideline, and he hasn't practiced yet this week with a knee injury as well. And then would love an update on tight end Dawson Knox, his calf injury, obviously not practicing at all yet this week. He doesn't look good for Sunday, but anything that you could tell us maybe about when we can expect to see Knox back on the field?
Yeah, Joe, I almost shed a tear a little bit when you mentioned about the ACL test, because that just shows you, and I've had other fans tweet at me talking about how they're noticing the different tests they're doing on the field and what they're looking for. It just shows that the fan is more engaged and paying attention with everything that's going on. They're not just saying, knee, what's going on? They're looking at seeing the tests, and they're becoming more informed fans. So as a PT, that warms my heart, and like I said, almost sheds a tear. So, but I love hearing that because you guys are paying attention. But going into all this stuff here with Brown, Ford, and Knox, Brown, you saw him hurt the knee in the first series. He tried going on a cross route toward the end or the out of bounds. And he landed on the left knee. That was the same knee he hurt in practice on the video, which caused him to miss the Titans game. I don't know exactly what he did. He might just hit it, but it might have just jarred whatever he was dealing with in there. The fact that he's our wide receiver two and we're playing the Jets, you got to wonder if they just say, let's put you on the bench for the week and let you recover for, you know, that game. I mean, we have so much wide receiver depth. We could call up other guys. Why not let him rest? He's already still dealing with the foot injuries, which he's, I don't think he's fully over. He's still dealing with, I'm sure, a calf, and manage to make sure that's not going to get worse. I would just put him on the bench and let him rest, knowing that I'd rather have a 75% healthy John Brown than a 50% John Brown, not only for this week, but next week when you're playing the Patriots, when it's going to matter more. So the guy's just beat up. He needs time off. There always is a chance of the sickle cell trait that he has. It's not something that we see too much of an issue pop up, but if you're overworking things, you're not getting enough water and causing dehydration, that can certainly exacerbate any injuries or just make things more pronounced. I don't believe that's the case right now, but it's something we always have to consider, especially with John Brown. So I don't see him playing this week, but if he didn't play, that wouldn't be the end of the world. As for Cody Ford, we saw him go down. You saw him do the ACL test. At first, this happened in the fourth quarter early on. At first, you got to wonder for ACL, but that knee was pretty bent, and he was getting hit later on. Looked like he rolled up on the ankle by Mitch Morse or another offensive player. I thought initially high ankle sprain, but when he was walking off on his own power, that's usually a good sign. And then it kind of go by a process of elimination. It looks like an MCL sprain. And the fact that they termed him week to week doesn't look good for him to play on Sunday, which wouldn't surprise me. The MCL sprains could take 2 to 4 weeks, depending on severity. It's not something that needs surgery. It's something that you can play through with a brace and eventually get right. He would have issues with pivoting and trying to work on lateral movements. Fortunately, he plays a guard position where he's a smaller area, but he's going to get pushed to his right and left and putting pressure through that knee, especially going to his left, but push off the right knee wouldn't be great for him to feel pain-wise. So he could use the time off. They're going to be shuffling around this depth that they have offensive guard and on the line. So I expect to see more Ike Botker, more Ryan Bates, potentially John Feliciano. He could come back. I think they're just waiting to see how things shake out before they activate him. But if he doesn't come back on Saturday, he's going to come back on Tuesday. They'd be stupid to hold him out any longer than they already are. So I could see Ford out, Feliciano in at some point there. Moving on to Dawson Knox. I didn't know the severity of the calf injury. We thought that I thought he could have practiced some in this week, but maybe they're looking at, hey, you need more time off. It's the Jets. We can get by without you. I've heard some rumblings, I think, from Joe B at the Athletic on the Buffalo beat that Reggie Gilliam could be playing. That might have been cover one guys too, but somebody's been talking out there. Reggie Gilliam could be in with that. So Dawson Knox clearly isn't right, and he's a younger guy, and he's already had the concussion beforehand too. So I can see a scenario where maybe he doesn't play, especially with two do not participates this week. And frankly, I'd rather have him back fully healthy for the Patriots game over the Jets game.
All right, let's close it out by talking about a couple of linebackers on the report. Matt Milano, obviously the big one with the pectoral injury, limited Wednesday and Thursday. And then Tyrell Dodson, he hasn't practiced all week with a hamstring injury.
So Dodson, he suffered the hamstring injury on the punt return, I think, in the third quarter. I'm going to shout out Colin Schultz, I think it is. He was the first one to tell me about that, and I was able to go back and look on the film and find that a lot easier. So big shout out to him. He's been a great follower. We've seen hamstrings. They rarely come back after a week, and they usually take at least one game off. And he's a depth guy. We want to make sure he's going to be healthy, especially with him filling in for Milano as injured as he has been. I'd rather see him take the week off against the Jets and come back healthier, because we're going to need that depth later on. So at least a week out, potentially more. As for Milano, I know that there was a lot of people that are disappointed when I had said that he wasn't going to play last week. I was right, not to brag about it, but we see the research support why he didn't play. So looking at this week, he's been limited the past 2 days. You got to wonder if there's not some gamesmanship going on. He probably could come back and play, but once again, it's the Jets. We know how bad they are. You got to wonder if we're going to try using our depth to sit Milano out another week and make sure he's 100% for the Patriots. The other scenario I see where he does play, but maybe he is like emergency backup where he's active, but maybe we get other guys playing in front of him and then only put him in case our depth gets hit further, which has been a problem all season at the linebacker position. So he's probably healthy enough to play, but whether it's a scheme fit and whether it's you know, once again, we're playing against the Jets. They're still a football team in the NFL, but we can get by playing backups versus having all our starters, because we're going to need them when the Patriots, Seahawks, and Cardinals all come up on the schedule in the coming weeks.
You know, many people are billing this a get right game for the Bills. And I think part of getting right is getting healthy. And I agree with you on being cautious with anyone who's dealing with something. So, Kyle, thanks for your time. As always, he provides us with expert injury analysis on the Buffalo Bills every Friday on this podcast. Please follow him on Twitter at @BangedUpBills. And as always, I appreciate your time.
As always, thank you very much, Joe.
All right, folks, let's close out the week with my predictions for Sunday. Pretty straightforward this week. I've got 5 of them for you. Not going to get cute here. Just going to put it out there and see these things happen. Number one, Josh Allen. I said it in the opening segment that he needs to complete 65% of his passes and throw for 300 yards. So I'm going to predict that Josh Allen completes at least 65% of his passes and throws for at least 300 yards. Number two, 30 points on offense. I want at least 30 points on offense, and I'm predicting at least 30 points on offense. I want Josh Allen to be a big part of that. Would love to see a rushing touchdown, maybe from Zach Moss. I don't care how you do it. I want 30 points in this game. Number three, 4 sacks for the defense. 4. Time for this defensive line to deliver, damn it. 4 sacks against, I guess it'll be Sam Darnold. Who knows? Could be Joe Flacco. I don't care which quarterback it is. Want 4 sacks on Sunday. I also want an interception. Feels like forever since the Bills got an interception. There's only been 2 this year. Levi Wallace has one, and Matt Milano has the other. Give me an interception, a play on the ball, a takeaway on defense in the form of an interception to give the Bills at least their 3rd for the season. Now, they can get more interceptions than just 1, but give me at least 1. So I'll predict an interception. I've done that before on this podcast and got it wrong. But I'm back, and I'm ready to predict another Bills interception on Sunday. There's 4 for you. The 5th one is the result of the game. Do the Bills win this game? Do they get to 5-2? Do they fall to 4-3? My goodness, if they fall to 4-3, lose this game to the Jets, we're going to have a real conversation on Monday, folks. We're going to have some real honest conversation about what this team is and the flaws that it has. But I'm not predicting that to happen. Give me a victory Monday. Give me a Bills dub against the New York Jets, getting to 5-2 with a chance to get to 6-2 next week against the New England Patriots in Buffalo. All right, folks, enjoy football this weekend. Enjoy the Bills game. Go Bills. Let's get that route that we're all looking for. Let's talk about it on Monday. Victory Monday's coming. Hit subscribe, rate, review, share this podcast. Enjoy your weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.